كثير. خلاص السلام عليكم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allowed us to return to this session on understanding the verses of the Quran. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept it from all of us. He allow us to benefit in our lives. Allow this to be from the mizan of hasanat, of good deeds. And He allow that from this beautiful dars of the Quran, He protect Islam in our families and for all our generations and for all the Muslims all over the world. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. And mashallah, generally, I'll give you a quick recap about what we did last time so that way we're not a little behind or we might feel a little confused. Because again, I'm going to try my best to connect these verses to the previous ones and move from there, inshallah ta'ala. But having said that, sometimes what happens is many of these verses in Surah Al-Anbiya are not things you practice on per se, the things that you believe in, right? And you strengthen your iman and your faith. Because once the foundation is there in a person's heart, then obviously the fruits will come out very easily. But when our iman isn't there, our faith isn't there, our belief isn't there, then what happens is life becomes very difficult, practicing Islam becomes very difficult. So the goal of these surahs, because these are one of the very first surahs that were revealed, Surah Taha, Surah Maryam, Surah Anbiya, they were one of the first surahs that were revealed in the Quran. And so their main goal is that fortify, strengthen iman. Okay, so sometimes some people ask and say that what was the practical benefit from the lesson, right? So the practical benefit is that mashallah Allah gave you such hasanat for listening to the Quranic verses. You're not going to get anything better than that practical benefit. Okay, so we should just, may Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. The last section that we covered was a beautiful section. And we went through many of the beautiful creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way Allah describes it in the Quran. He explains all these extraordinary, amazing things. MashaAllah, we talked about the power of Allah Ta'ala from the earth, from the water, from the heavens, the sky, the night and the day. And we ended and concluded with kullun fi falaki yasbahun, that everything is in an orbit, right? And all these things are things that we observe now. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu had an understanding in their time. This is how you normally understand these verses, which are these quote-unquote, I don't want to call them scientific miracles of the Quran, because it doesn't really capture what it is. They're miracles of the reality of the world, right? The miracles of what's happening in the world. They're phenomena, they're things that we see, right? Sahaba radiallahu anhu had a certain understanding because of whatever they were able to observe. And you and I have even more profound understanding. That we know that everything has been, every life originates in water. They're sending a rover to Mars because they're looking for this type of water, right? They're trying to see if life could exist there. Because of all these things, right? And then the same thing about the everything being in orbit, right? We talked about how that everything's in swimming, right? It's going through the time-space continuum, all these the fabric of gravity, right? And then things are getting pulled down. We talked about all these things last time. And there was another verse that just came to mind, An-Najm al-Thaqib, right? An-Najm al-Thaqib, which is the piercing star. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ An-Najm al-Thaqib. And so the piercing star was in the, again, the normal tafsir is what? That the star that you see in the sky, that its light is so bright, it comes into your house, even though it's completely dark, right? You can still see that star. But An-Najm al-Thaqib, one scientist looked at the verse, and he said, the Najm al-Thaqib is literally what a black hole is. He said, because that a star is piercing the time-space fabric, the fabric, and it's going down. And that's what happens, that's why a black hole is created because of that, right? And so mashallah, there are all these like little hints. And that's why I encourage everyone again, to use your expertise and look at the Qur'an. You'll find something in there that someone else could not have found. And again, this book continues to give to the Day of Judgment, mashallah ta'ala. Okay, and so these are the things that Allah Ta'ala tells us in the book of Allah Ta'ala 1400 years ago, to a man who lived in the Arabian desert, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us to contemplate and think that how could he have known all these things? Okay, and so the main goal of this is that the evidences within creation, they're all for signs for us to recognize that why we are here, what is our purpose, where are we going? Allah Ta'ala gave us all this so you can connect with Him. He's made it in every single atom of this existence that we're in. That you will find a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ If you don't find it outside, look internally. Your biology will tell you the same exact thing as well. Allah ta'ala says, just look around, you'll see how to connect with me. Okay? So now, none of this though, when we're connecting it to the next section now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this beautiful universe, extraordinary universe, with so many things that are happening. But none of it was intended to stay this way. None of this is going to stay like this forever. What's going to happen ultimately to everything? It's going to be destroyed. Allah ta'ala says that this is the exam hall. This is the test room. And this entire section is going to talk about the test of Allah ta'ala. And you'll get some beautiful points from this. The ayah of the Quran says, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. We did not create for a human from before you that they would live forever. We did not assign immortality to any human before you. أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ, if you die, will they live forever? There's two parts to this. The first thing that we talked about, Allah there says, I created this entire heavens and earth so that human beings can get their exam. And now the exam will be finished. When is the exam finished? When the time is up in the classroom. When the time is up or the teacher tells you the exam is over, then you put down your pencils and then you leave. That's how you know the exam is over. So Allah Ta'ala made it that this universe, heaven and earth, everything that you see, Allah Ta'ala says, I'm going to fold it and destroy it one day. Your time will be up one day, and then you have to get your exam, your results from the exam that you took in the dunya. So this is the exact same thing Allah is saying here, that we did not give anyone eternal life. You will all have to die one day, because what will that mean? That means your test is over. Now you'll get the results of what you did in this life. أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. If you die, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will they live forever? People are wondering about this part. What does this mean? This is something that's referring to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They call him a poet. When you call someone a poet, in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they considered poets to be kind of like madmen. People who are obsessed. فِي كُلِّ وَادِي يَهِيمُونَ. They'd be wandering in valleys. And they would end up dying in some crazy ditch or some crazy way of dying. They will say that a poet is, if a person is obsessed with poetry, they live their life on poetry, they will find that their life will die in a very miserable state. So they said that this Prophet, نَتَرَبَّصِ بِهِ, we're waiting for him to die. أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. And so they consider him to be a bad omen. This Muhammad is in our community, he's a poison. He is the worst fitna that has ever emerged in the Arab Peninsula. He is someone who's destroying families, destroying our civilization, making fun of our idols, doing all these terrible things. So the Quraysh were literally waiting for the Prophet Muhammad to die. Okay? I want you all to understand that. Okay? And I want to, before we continue and understand how it's connected to the Prophet, you and I need to understand this for our lives too. We gotta connect this to ourselves. Certain people's anger in this life has no limits. Certain people get so angry in this life, they have no limits. They will hate a person so much that they will abandon their own akhirah. They'll do jadu on this person, they'll do sihr on this person, they'll summon this against this person. They hate people so much in this life that their entire life is what? Check their Facebook. See if you can find something wrong with them. Check their Instagram. Check their this and that. That's why it's better to not be social on social media. You know, be infiradi on social media. Give it to your family. You know, make it family media. Be very careful because people are watching you, trying to see you slip. That's something that's so terrible about us as a community. May Allah protect us from this. We never like that anyone will become successful. Allah protect us. Your kid will become a hafiz of the Quran. And now 50 parents will be so jealous of you. And they'll be like, why is my kid not a hafiz? Right? Or his kid became an alim of deen or a doctor or whatever. Now they're so upset their kid didn't become a doctor. Now their entire life is focused on you. When are you going to fail? When will you die? أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ, why won't you die? Just get out of my life. People's lives are obsessed. Some people only live to be jealous of you. Wallahi, that's what some people's lives are about. They only check these things waiting for the day that you and I will fail. And it's so miserable that no one can just say, MashaAllah ta'ala, la hawla wa la quwwata billah, la quwwata illa billah. Allah ta'ala willed it for you, didn't will it for me. That's what it is, right? You know, that's why Imam Ghazali rahimahullah ta'ala said, in Jannah there's no jealousy. Because in Jannah there's unlimited space. So everyone will have enough, you know? You're never going to be jealous of someone because you have plenty for yourself. But in this world, resources are limited. So what happens is my kid didn't become it, so I get upset. You know, it should have been my kid. You couldn't have done anything about it. Could you have done anything about it? If your child was, or if you got a job or someone else didn't get it, who wrote all these things for us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why jealousy is such a big sin. Because it's not that you're just upset at this one person in front of you. You actually upset at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Allah write it for them? Ya Rabbul Alameen. Allah to protect us. And that's why I tell everyone that, look, the Quran is telling us that people are waiting for people to die. People are waiting about this. You have to read Falaq al-Nas every day. Do not stop on your zikr and awrad. Protect yourself every day. Because people are only looking, look, they will sacrifice the akhirah just to get you destroyed. This is the reality of believers. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, it was a reality. Don't think you're any better than the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If he was afflicted with black, with magic and stuff like that, don't think you and I are safe at all. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said, in his time, in the 700s of Islam, 700 years ago, he said that 70% of the people outside are afflicted by magic. Okay. I'm telling you, you know, one Arab came to Bangladesh, and they gave him fish to eat, you know, complimentary dish, mashallah. And he's like, la. It's like, what? He's like, why not? He's like, al Bengaliyun kulluhum sahirun. He said, all the Bengalis are magicians. I'm not a magician, okay. La ilaha illallah. The thing was that, because they do some pagal stuff. You guys, mashallah, have more stories than me. You probably have stories about limes and lemons and people throwing crazy stuff. You know, Bengalis, some of them would just literally just read you know, some magic on a fish and just throw it in the ocean. Just whoever it can hit. You know, like some kind of crazy nonsense, you know. I want to stress this point about jealousy. It exists. Hasad exists. Nazar exists. Protect yourself from these things. People, don't put up your pictures on Facebook and stuff. Don't put up your children. Be very careful, because some people will be looking at it with such an eye of jealousy. And then this kid will be afflicted with fitna. You have no idea where it came from, because this one eye was looking at them very dangerously. Okay. So now Allah Ta'ala addresses the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and everyone else about anyone who has this hasad problem. أَفَإِمْ مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. If they die, will you live forever? If they die, if this person that you hate so much, that your entire life is obsessed watching them, like, you know, like they're Fox News, you're looking at them, you're examining them, you're living your life about them. If that's all your life is about, fine, let them die. What's going to happen to you and I after they die? أَفَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. Will you live forever? Or what do you have to get? What do you have to do? What do I have to do? There's no such thing as bad omens. Everyone will pass away. You and I still have a test to go through. We still have an exam to go through. And if you thought, if that person who was jealous thought, that I will get away with what I did, there's no one who gets away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will grab everyone, and Allah Ta'ala will give them the results. You were abusive to my slave. And on that day, Allah Ta'ala will give the just recompense. The jaza will be given. We should never think that Allah Ta'ala will let things like this slip. Waliyadu billah, never. The thing is that they need to focus on their own lives. Okay, no one controls any of it. The reality is this. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. It's exactly the next ayah. Allah Ta'ala says, if you die, Muhammad alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam, will they live forever? Every soul will taste death. Every soul will taste death. Dha'iqatul maut. This word is so beautiful. Allah Ta'ala used such a focused word. You know, like an amazing word. The idea, first and foremost, is that don't focus on other successes and failures. Don't worry about other people. Because who has to taste death? I do. You do. My friend does. My brother does. Everyone has to taste death. So don't worry about other people. Don't worry about that. Sometimes our focus is that my community needs to become successful. For a community is a very big issue. A very big thing. Many people can't even deal with the community. You know, sometimes we want our families to become undeen. We're so excited about their deen for the family. Even that's really big for certain people. Just focus on yourself. How can I become a good Muslim? How can I become a good believer? If I become a good Muslim, perhaps because of my actions, my children will also become good Muslims. My wife will have she'll change her heart. She'll change her life. If I become a good Muslim, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Everyone will taste death, so you focus on yourself. Don't worry about other people. What is this word dha'iqa? It's like in Arabic when you say daribun and daribatun. Daribun means someone who is continuously or he regularly hits you. He's a darib. Daribatun with the ta, just with the ta, it means someone who hits you once. Someone who hits you once. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will taste death once. Because once they taste that death once, there'll be never a taste of death anymore. For everyone who lives in this world, what happens when they go to Qiyamah? Allah Ta'ala will take out death in the form of a ram, and He will slaughter it, and say there's no dying anymore. The people of Jannah will become so happy because they'll never have to leave the place of Jannah, and the people of Jahannam will become so sad because they can never leave the place of Jahannam. That's the reality. That's why Allah Ta'ala uses that specific word, dha'iqatul maut. You get a little taste. What is the taste in your mouth? It stays for a little bit, and then it goes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you'll taste it for a little bit and then you'll never experience it anymore. And what is this life about? وَنَبَلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We will test you through bad. بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ as a fitna, as a trial. وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. And all of you will return to us. Okay? The word that Allah uses, there are two words here. نَبَلُوكُمْ and fitna. Both these words mean test. The Arab will look at it and they'll say both these words are test. But they have a slightly different connotation or connection. The word bala is used for general tests. Good or bad, easy or hard, whatever. You talk about any exam you have in life, that's a bala. Okay? And what is a fitna? A fitna is when you come home after a very stressed day for all the husbands here. I'll give the example for the wife in a second. The husband comes back after a very stressful day, very exhausted day. MashaAllah, he was doing so much sadaqat and hasanat. He was doing amazing things, MashaAllah. Giving sadaqah here, barakah there, MashaAllah. This guy's like, fi sabirillah, free sabirillah. He's doing everything, MashaAllah. He comes home, you know, exhausted after praying 5 times in the masjid, MashaAllah. He comes home, he's waiting just for food to be served. And the wife says, I'm not cooking you anything today. Fitna. It burns. It burns. And there's the flip side for the wife, right? She was waiting for her husband to come home because she wanted to tell him about how much of a stressful day she's had. And then he comes home and he just says, can I just move? I just have to watch TV for a little bit. You know, I haven't watched my brother's CNN for a while. Can I watch CNN, brother? And then I will, you know. And so she's going through fitna. Fitna is not an easy word. Okay? For us, sometimes fitna means woman. It is not, that doesn't mean the same exact thing, okay? Fitna is to place something in the fire. It's used for when you take gold and put it in the fire because you want to remove all the impurities from the gold. That's the usage of fitna. If you are placed in the fire, is that an easy test? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ, we will test them with evil or bad things and good things as a test. What does that mean? The bad things are easy. I gave you a good example of a bad one right now. Sometimes good will come in front of us. We'll get such wealth from Allah ta'ala, such money, such health, such good things from Allah. But when the push comes to shove, to give sadaqah, or to help people, or to benefit people, I can't do it anymore. Sometimes what happens is what? You don't have the barakah of legs. Allahu Akbar, the barakah of legs. We can walk, you can drive a car, you can go wherever you want. You have that free movement. But when the time comes to come for Isha in the masjid, you will begin given such a good from Allah Ta'ala, but it's a test from Allah. Never forget that. People think that they get wealth in this world and they are blessed from Allah. That's not the case. You are not considered blessed or not blessed by wealth. That's not the way you look at it. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The people who are blessed are those who believe and do good deeds. That's the way we know if someone is blessed. Now the idea about being placed in the fire is that it's a difficult test. And everyone knows when Allah Ta'ala made this exam in this dunya, it's difficult. It's hard. When Allah Ta'ala tests you, it's hard. People tell me sometimes, they text me and say that this test is very hard from Allah. I said, that's what Allah Ta'ala made it for. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to explain it. This is what Allah Ta'ala made the dunya for. You know, some people think they're not being tested. I'm like, you need to open your eyes. You have not seen what Allah is doing. Everyone's being tested in this life. So you are being tested. You are in the fire. What's going to happen though if you pass the test? What happens to the gold? What happens to coal? What happens when you put it under intense pressure and immense heat? The gold will become purified. The value of the gold will increase. And the same thing about diamonds. Diamonds will be produced because of intense heat. You become like a diamond. You become like purified gold. What it requires is that we're just patient with the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that's what He created the dunya for. This is the entire exam hall. And never forget that. If you remember that, you will become successful at the end of the test, inshallah. And at the end of it, you'll get a beautiful quality from Allah. Something you could never have acquired before the test came to you. One person said, I made dua to Allah to become a brave person. So Allah gave me things to be afraid of. I asked Allah ta'ala to make me a smart person. And then He gave me problems to solve. And as Allah Ta'ala have tawakkul and trust on Him, then He took away everything in my life. He said, Allah didn't give me what I wanted, but He gave me what I needed. Allah didn't give me what I wanted, but He gave me what I needed. You'll get the quality, you'll get the sifa, but we have to be patient with the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end, everyone returns to Allah Ta'ala after completing the test. There's nowhere else to go. So what happens is, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Everyone will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the ultimate goal for everyone, that what will be our result when we meet Allah azza wa jal. وَإِذَا رَآكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِن يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا. So Allah Ta'ala makes this beautiful section about what life is about. How beautiful He made the test room. How beautiful He made the exam hall. What is life about? What is the purpose of it? What are we here for? What's going to happen at the end? We're all going to taste death. Then Allah Ta'ala transitions back to the Quraysh. And what's their life about? What are they obsessed about? What are they worried about? One part we already got. We got a sneak peek about their secret gatherings. If you remember, وَأَسَّرُوا النَّجْوَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا هَلْ هَذَا إِلَّا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ أَفَتَأْتُونَ السِّحْرَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبْصِرُونَ. Earlier in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah talks about their secret gatherings. They talk about the Prophet ﷺ. Their obsession is, in secret they talk about the Prophet ﷺ. This ayah tells us about what they do openly. What they do batinan, we know. They talk about the Prophet ﷺ. What did they do zahiran? وَإِذَا رَآكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. When the disbelievers see you, Muhammad ﷺ, إِيَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا. They make you into a joke. They make you into a joke. They make fun of you. They mock you. They laugh at you. أَهَذَا الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ آلِهَتَكُمْ. Is this disgusting, despicable person the one who talks about your gods? They talked so many bad things about the Prophet ﷺ. And I want everyone to understand that. Every time, it's إِذَا. In Arabic, when you use the word إِذَا, it means every single time it occurs. It's not like in. In is if it happens. إِذَا means every time it comes, they do the same exact thing. So that's why in the Quran it says, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When my slaves, every time my slave asks about me, I'm close to him. That's what Allah Ta'ala says, right? In this place what we find is, every time the disbelievers see the Prophet ﷺ, there's never how are you doing? There's never how's the family? They never talk to him in a beautiful way anymore. As soon as he said he was the Prophet of Allah, he said, I'm the Messenger of Allah, I'm calling you to oneness of Allah, they start to mock him and joke about him and laugh at him. And every single thing, every good thing that happened to the Prophet ﷺ, that would make them feel so miserable in their hearts. And every bad thing that happened to the Prophet ﷺ, they would laugh and become happy because of it. When the Prophet ﷺ loses his children, when the Prophet ﷺ loses his children, and anyone who's lost a child understands that experience and that feeling. Losing a child is the worst type of fitna in the entire world. Imam Suyuti rahimahullah said, the greatest of all the tests of Allah in the dunya is that He takes away the fruit of your heart. What is the fruit of the heart? It is children. The love that we put in them, the effort that we put into them, Allah takes them away. It's a big test from Allah. Imagine this, the Prophet ﷺ loses his son. He loses his children. They're dying. You know, Qasim, Ibrahim, Abdullah. You know, some riwayat say the Prophet had four children. Some of them say he had three children. Every son that comes, he keeps dying. And this is a tragedy for the Prophet ﷺ. What do the disbelievers do? They start laughing at him. They don't come and comfort him. They don't come and console him. These are his uncles and cousins and nephews and people that are related to him. And no one cares about him. Secretly, they spend their gatherings making lies about the Prophet ﷺ. And openly, they make fun of him and criticize him. Their entire life is, how can we just make this man miserable? I'm telling about people who are obsessed, maghmoon, they were completely delved into, they were completely absorbed in jealousy. They hated the Prophet ﷺ. And I want to make it clear, because Muslims sometimes in America, they think that, wow, I'm going through a very new experience. People will make fun of me for my religion, my deen. La ilaha illallah, wallahi, you are like every single prophet of the past. And the Prophet ﷺ has gone through things and even worse than that. You at least will find that they'll be kind to you. They'll be nice to you. They'll respect you. They'll talk to you and say, how are you doing? But the Prophet of Islam, he didn't even get that much, even that much comfort. Life was not easy for the Prophet. It was not easy. Yet every single day he woke up, he prayed his tahajjud, he made dua to Allah. He worked every day. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَفْحًا تَوِيلًا. He would go out every morning and invite people like he was out for a swim. His entire body will be active, alayhi salatu wasalam. Entire night will be active. He didn't have any rest anymore. And he would go every single day. They would talk about him and talk about him and talk about him. He would not be bothered. He would just go and do and go and do. But obviously, eventually, the stuff hits your heart. Everyone's insan, right? You're human beings. It hurts. It hurts. So these ayat come down just because, O Prophet of Islam, don't get depressed. Don't become sad. And you and I don't become sad. If people make fun of you for Islam, alhamdulillah, you got a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? Now they said something. They said, أَهَذَا الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ آلِيَتَكُمْ. Is this the one, is this despicable person? They say, is this one, this being here? Is he the one mentioning your idols? He's talking bad about them? The Prophet ﷺ never cursed an idol. The Prophet ﷺ never cursed an idol. Allah in the Quran says, وَلَا تَسُبُّوا الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Don't ever curse whatever they call besides Allah. You never get into a good altercation or discussion, right? You don't go to like a church and start telling them, hey, Jesus is not God and things like that. You know, you're being very disrespectful. The only thing that's going to come out of that type of discussion is that they're going to say Allah is not God. Or they'll say something about something else. Don't ever fight dirty battles. This is not what we do. The Prophet was not like that. He never talked bad about an idol. What did he say though? He said to worship one Lord. And they took that as an insult. They said, this guy's mentioning your idols in such a terrible way. The Prophet never said that these are just, you know, why do you worship them? You're idiots, you're fools. The Quran, the Prophet never says things. He has such high character, you know. He has such great akhlaq. The Prophet never cursed an idol. They're making a lie about him. They're lying about him. They'll lie about you. They'll make propaganda about you. They'll say all these terrible things. Islam is a violent religion. Islam oppresses women. Islam does this, Islam does that, Islam does this. This is the same old, from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They made up lies about him ﷺ. He wasn't free from propaganda. You and I will never be free from propaganda. Never think about it. Don't worry about it. Just keep going. Allah Ta'ala will take care of it. What does He say? وَهُمْ بِذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, when they mention you and they talk about you, they talk about you. Allah says, what do you think? What do you think I feel? What do you think I say? When they care more about the idols than they do about Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In their hierarchy, who's the greatest Lord? They do the shirk, right? They do shirk with Allah Ta'ala. So obviously, Allah Ta'ala is still the greatest Allah, right? He's the greatest Lord. And they have all these smaller gods. They never talk about Allah. What do they talk about? These rocks and stones and things like that. Allah Ta'ala said, O Prophet of Islam, you don't need to talk about them. Let me talk about them. They're my slaves. I'll talk about them. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? He says, they talk about stones and dates and all these idols that they make. You know, there was one story about one Sahabi who said that I had an idol made out of dates. And he said, I was once on a safar, I was traveling, I was making dua to this idol, but nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. So I became very hungry. So then I ate the idol. Like, you know, like the stupidity and the foolishness of the shirk is reality. Allah Ta'ala says, how do you talk about all these other gods when I'm the one who's doing everything for you? I'm Rahman. I'm the one who's giving you Rahmah. No one else is doing anything. How do you talk about these idols? How do you spend your time talking about them? Even about Jesus, you know, like it's an ajeeb thing. The Christians will spend so much time talking about Him. Whereas He's the Son of God. I'd rather be you talking about the Father. Right? It would only make sense. Allah says, why do they spend time talking about these idols? They should talk about Me. They should make zikr about Me. They don't do it. Don't worry about the Prophet of Islam. They don't know. They don't even do anything right. Allah provides and provides, and they claim His powers with other gods and these stones. And that's why Allah said, Ar-Rahman. I want you to understand this. If you had an exam hall, and your exam was just be nice or talk nice about the teacher. Let's just say this was the exam. Okay? You know, and the kids, like, five of the kids, you have like, let's say you have a 30 kid classroom. Five of the kids are talking nice about the teacher. The rest of the 25 are doing what? They're making fun of him. They're spitting at him, shooting spitballs, writing things on the walls, saying, you know, teacher's a loser. Teacher doesn't exist. I don't believe in this teacher. You know, all this stuff, right? Right? What would you do? How much sabr would you have? I will shut down the exam right there. Get the heck out of my classroom. I'm done. Who's Allah? He's Rahman. We don't appreciate this. The atheist curses Allah day and night. The Christians make shirk with Him. The Hindus give a billion partners to Him. And Allah still gives them food and drink. We don't appreciate this. We commit sins after sins. We do it with our eyes, our ears, our tongues. We do it with every single body part that we have. Our minds are focused on the sin. And then Allah doesn't take away our heartbeat. He lets our eyes work. He is Rahman. You and I would have given up the test a long time ago. And the worst part is they insult the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You and I love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's Habibullah. But He's Habibullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's Allah Ta'ala's beloved. You think Allah Ta'ala wants to tolerate this stuff? But He says, I'm Rahman. One scholar said that the earth every day asks Allah, Allah, let us destroy them. They cause the corruption on the earth. The sky asks every single day, Allah, let us destroy them. They cause pollution on the earth. The mountains ask, and the winds ask, and every single creation, the waters ask, Ya Allah, let us destroy them, because they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Allah Ta'ala says, لو خلقتموهم لرحمتموهم. If you created them, you would have been more kind to them. You would have loved them more. Allah says, give them a chance. Give them a chance. He's Rahman. Okay? And He gives them time and chances over and over and over again. Allah says, خلق الإنسان من عجل. Everyone wants the test to be over. Allah, just show us, just show us. Allah says, mankind has been created from haste. Everyone is in rush. Okay? You know, like, it's made in China. So there's like some bootlegginess in it, you know, like, or it's made in Bangladesh, you know, and so you're like, this clothing's gonna rip in like 3 days, you know. This type of thing, like, you know, whatever it's made from has an asar on it, right? It has an effect on it, right? Whatever it's made from, the quality of it, right? So certain things are made out of certain fabrics, so you know that automatically, no matter what you do with it, if it's bad fabric, it's gonna rip. If it's good fabric, it's gonna stay. Allah just says the quality of human beings is that they're always rushing. They're never patient. They're made from haste. We're always rushing. Allah just says, "Sa'urikum ayati." I will soon show you my signs. فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. Don't rush me. Allah said, "Don't rush me." You want signs from me? Allah said, "I'll give you signs. I'll give you so many signs. You won't be able to imagine how many signs." Right? There are so many signs from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. They want a lot from this Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. What did they ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam? لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا أَوْ تَكُونَ لَكَ جَنَّةٌ مِنْ نَخِيلٍ وَعِنَبٍ وَتُفَجِّرَ الْأَنْهَارَ خِلَالَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. They would ask, give us rivers, O Prophet. Give us gardens, O Prophet. Why aren't you eating like, why don't you have a garden that follows you and feeds you? Why are you suffering from poverty? Oh, why is there an angel following you? Hey, can you make us a ladder? We want to go up the heavens. Can you show us Allah? Can you show us angels? They ask for a lot of things. You know, and even they go and say, Allahumma in kana hadahu al-haqqu min 'indika fa'amtir 'alayna hijaratan min as-sama'. It's recorded in the Quran, in Surah Al-Anfal. Allah that records their dua. They say, Allah, if this guy is true, let the stones rain down right now on us. These people are crazy. I'm telling you, in terms of, you don't realize how mad the Quraysh were. They're asking Allah, bring the punishment now, we're ready for it. Allah said, don't worry, give it time. You all have to get a fair test. Everyone has their test, okay? وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدِ They say, when is this promise? You keep telling us about this promise. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If you are truthful. And you probably heard this one in Surah Al-Yasin, Surah Al-Mulk. And Surah Al-Yasin and Surah Al-Mulk. Surah Al-Mulk has a really nice answer. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ Right? It's because Surah Al-Mulk is more about learning and teaching. So Allah, when they ask, where is this promise? قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ The knowledge is with Allah. Right? It's a nice, easy answer. Yasin goes a little harder. Yasin goes and says, وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً They're only going to see like a single cry, a single scream, and then they all be dropped dead, right? It's a little harder. It's just telling them, you know, like, be very careful about this question about asking when the Day of Judgment is. And the answer in this surah is, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا حِينَ لَا يَكُفُّونَ عَنْ وُجُوهِمُ النَّارُ وَلَا عَنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ اللَّهُ is not taking any prisoners here. Allah says, if only disbelievers were to know, the time when they'll not be able to keep the fire from their faces or from their backs. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ They won't be helped. Allah Ta'ala says, when that time comes, at this moment, because Allah is showing you His anger, you're mocking the Prophet ﷺ. It's not okay. In this world, when they mock the Prophet ﷺ, you and I don't have to do anything. I'm telling you, you don't have to do anything. In the terms of like, you can be angry and frustrated, but who's the most upset? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will take care of them. He will send bala and adab and punishments. You and I would never be able to imagine. Allah Ta'ala says, when they asked about when is this promise, if you're telling the truth, if only disbelievers were to know that one day a fire will come, it will burn their faces, burn their backs, la yunsarun, they won't have any help whatsoever. Why are they rushing this punishment? You're acting like you want to see this thing. Allah says, بَلْ تَأْتِيهِمْ بَغْتَةً It will come to them suddenly. فَتَبْهَتُهُمْ And it will dumbfound them. It will come from them from out of nowhere, and it will surprise them. فَتَبْهَتُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ رَدَّهَ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْظَرُونَ They will not be able to turn the punishment back, nor will they be given respite. People are asking for the punishment. I ask you about the people of Lut alayhi salam. They asked Lut alayhi salam for the punishment. What happened when the punishment came? Were any of them saved? They were all destroyed. Salih alayhi salam. They asked him for the punishment. What happened? Thamud, Ad, Nuh. We have story after story after story. Kafir nation after kafir nation after kafir nation. All of them were destroyed. Did they have a single chance to figure it out? Let's make tawbah now. Once the punishment of Allah Ta'ala comes, you can't turn it back. You can't ask for another moment. There's no more of that. When it comes down, it's going to come down suddenly. Okay? Now this is an amazing type of test Allah Ta'ala has made. People, in terms of tests, if you're a teacher, you have two types of tests you can give. You either give scheduled exams. You tell your kids that after every month, there'll be a test. There'll be a test. So now, if there are any college kids listening, or even high school kids, right? College kids have the biggest fitna of this. If there is a test, there's a final exam on May 15th. When does he start studying? 14th night, 15th morning. As much as he can do. No one, you know, like, because he's like, forget it. If I know the date, right? Allah, you know, he is, and that's why he's Rahman. He's giving them such a threat and a warning. You're hearing the threat, right? At the same time, he's giving them their answer. Saying, why did I not tell you about when the Day of Judgment is? Because if I were to tell you the scheduled exam, that the Day of Judgment on so-and-so date, like people make up this fake thing about Ashura, 10th of Ashura, some weird stuff like that. All these bid'ah and mawdu' hadith, you know, Allah protect us. No one knows. No one knows, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So the idea is that if Allah Ta'ala were to tell us when the date is, or, you know, Brother Shakil, mashallah, you have 75 years of living, you know, this is how much I've given you, and you're going to die on this date, you know, 2020, whatever, right? Allah Ta'ala give me long life, okay? I don't know, okay? May Allah give all of us long life, okay? I'm not trying to kill myself right now, ya Rabbal Alameen. But the idea is that if Allah were to tell us when we were going to die, or when the exam was going to be finished, what would we do? We literally live our life partying and enjoying, and then say, you know what, I'll become the true worshipper of Allah the last like 2 years of my life. You know? But what's the best type of test to make sure your kids are always studying? It is the pop quiz. Although everyone hates it. Everyone hates it. Everyone hates it. Everyone is annoyed by it. Because you know that It can happen at any time. I walk into the class and I have to be ready. Because if I didn't study, I'm going to fail. That's the best type of exam to make sure your students are always learning. This life is about worshipping Allah Ta'ala. So Allah said, I hid in the day you're going to die, and I hid in the day of judgment. Get ready every single day, because today could be your last day. Today could be anyone's last day. Don't take any chances, don't take anything beyond that. It's a beautiful way Allah Ta'ala responds. He says, it'll come to them suddenly. Okay? Inshallah. So we'll leave it there. There's a couple more ayat, inshallah ta'ala, which we'll cover. And it leads right into the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is the first prophet that's mentioned. And it's very beautifully done again. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Allow us, inshallah ta'ala, to appreciate the tests of Allah ta'ala that He's given us in this world. Allah ta'ala make it easy for us in this world. Allah ta'ala give us the test of shukr and not the test of sabr. And may Allah make us the people who are the shakirin, who thank Allah ta'ala for the ni'mah and the blessings of Allah ta'ala. May Allah make us people who use the benefits, the blessings of Allah in all the right ways and all the right methods, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah protect all of our families. May Allah alleviate us from this virus. Grant us shifa kamila ajra for all of our communities. Allah us to have a beautiful Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq, so much tawfiq, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala nisa hajin, zaka makhira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.